How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, coming to you on the Friday evening edition of the Boneyard. You can probably tell I'm a little bit under the weather, but I'll be okay. I'll be fine. And this morning, I probably wasn't capable of putting this show together for you. I needed a little while to kind of, get the voice going. You know how it is. It takes a while to talk sometimes in the morning. There are sometimes I don't speak until somebody calls. But all that understood, we're here. The show must go on. I will be in Central Mississippi tomorrow for a couple of book signings. Noon to 1 at Lemuria Books in Jackson, and then 2 to 4 at Persnickety in Madison. And every time I go there, it's always a great turnout. So we look forward to seeing you all there. If you're in the greater Starkville area, I'll be downtown at Book Martin Cafe Sunday, 11 to 3. Me and Marshall Ramsey both going to be there too. He's got a great children's book out called Saving Sam. My grand girls loved the book and got Marshall to sign it for me. And he was very gracious. He even drew the characters and then drew Bully next to him. Marshall's a great guy. Appreciate his friendship. It has been a difficult week on the personal front for me and for many others in the Mississippi State family, but also too in the SEC writing community. There is a fraternity in the SEC writing community, and there are a lot of people that pretend they're part of it, but they're not. But you actually have to go to games to be a part of that. But Mississippi State lost one of its most beloved sons this week, J.C. Patton, a guy that is a local legend. His dad lived to be about 100, if memory serves me correct. But J.C. has been my friend, goodness man, over 20 years. And I knew this day was coming, and as I wrote on Gene's page, it doesn't make it any easier, you know, when you know it's coming, but it came nonetheless. It's another reminder, you know, that life is short and death is certain. And J.C. fought cancer very bravely, very admirably. And there are times that I would speak to him, and I think that he was handling it better than I was. And for those of you out there that know J.C. Patton, to know him is to love him. This is a guy that loved Mississippi State, did a lot for Mississippi State. It's going to be difficult to replace J.C. Patton. Of course, the last couple of years, you know, he hadn't been quite as active. He's had to focus on his health and his family. And it's one of those things you wish you'd have called more, right? And I thought about calling him this week, and I checked in with a friend, and they goes, you know, he can't talk on the phone, Steve. He's just, it's really, really bad situation. He's probably not going to make it through the week, and then he didn't. But it's part of the deal, man. It is, and I hate it. And then we learn that Bob Holt, legendary, dare I say, comedian of the SEC media, he went to go cover the Arkansas game at Missouri, and he is a graduate of the journalism school there at Missouri. And Bob has been synonymous with Arkansas for as long as I can remember. A lot of it because of sometimes the silly questions that he would ask on the SEC teleconference or at SEC media days. But every time that I've been to Fayetteville, Bob is the first person to greet me, you know, the first guy in the media to come up and check in every single time. And every time that I got ready to leave, I always felt obligated to tell Bob goodbye. And he'd always say, hey, Steve, it's great to see you. Be careful driving back. Man, you guys have a good time the rest of the year. I'll see you down the road. Well, I won't see him down the road again. And after he covered postgame. Arkansas, Missouri, Bob collapsed and never went home. And, you know, it's one of those things you hate and makes you consider your own mortality. You know, we all have a shelf life. We do. And it's one of those things that I think about as I begin to age and get a little bit older. You know, I think about those things. And I think about, you know, at some point we all age out, right? There are things that don't always make a lot of sense to us. And, you know, I read, I guess it was Michael Cassagandre's column, you know, The Big House, Casagrande, about when Nick Saban walked in at SEC Media Days. It had been raining. And right just before Nick takes the stage, it stops raining. And the very first question is Bob. And he's like, Coach, just stopped raining. Did you have anything to do with that? It's just that kind of wit and humor that we'll miss. But as sad as I am that JC and Bob Holt are gone, I'm very grateful to have had a chance to know them a little bit. Very grateful. It has enriched my life to know them. JC more than Bob, obviously. JC's a bulldog that I interacted with a lot. And, you know, Bob's a guy, again, that kind of the mayor of the Arkansas beat. And it won't be the same without either one of them. Life will not be the same. And I think it was Trey Biddy that wrote, or it may have been Michael, I can't remember, but somebody had written that, you know, we sports writers, you know, we can be a divisive people. Some of us, like myself, take some pride in that. But, you know, we all got our critics. And a lot of it's because people would love to do what we do. We're very privileged to do what we do. I remember David Brandt saying, and I love David. I had a chance to see him out in Tempe, Arizona. Dave said, you know, Steve, what are we all so angry about? We get to cover college sports for a living. And I think about that on the difficult days. I think about that on the days maybe we get beat on a story or, you know, days when it feels like, oh, man, I got to get on the road again. I got to go cover a game that I'm sure Mississippi State's going to lose. And I think to myself, man, it's a lot better than selling insurance, you know. I get to cover college sports for a living. And I share with you guys all the time, and maybe you think it's idle chatter. It's not. I don't know how long all this is going to last. So I'm trying to do the best I can with the time that I have left. I feel like I've done a pretty good job along the years. And I look back at, you know, years ago, I used to think I was working hard and being busy, and I wasn't. You know, that's one of the things that you learn in life, right? You learn how to go harder. You know, and I've worked with some people that kind of reach a comfortable standard of living and they stop pushing. And I don't want to ever be that person. It's like, well, you know, you got there and you just kind of stayed relevant. But you know, we want it all. We do. And I share that with you. And I wanted to open the show and pay tribute to these two men that have been good friends of mine. JC, obviously a lot closer. But I'll tell you a quick story about JC Patton. I don't know that I've shared this with you guys before, but it's not something that my wife obviously would tell people. She's a little more private than me. I'm a bit of an oversharer, maybe you learned. But one day we're coming back from Chico State Park. My wife used to go run this race there every year. And so we would take it as an opportunity to go camping. And we'd take the kids up there, and it was a very lengthy, you know, trail run. Cajun Coyote is what the race is called. But anyway, we're coming back one day, and we get randomly stopped, and we weren't even speeding. Some vehicles ahead of us were, but there was an officer from the town of Washington there on the interstate, Interstate 49, that basically bisects Louisiana, on our way back to Baton Rouge. And we get pulled over. And this guy writes a speeding ticket, and he wants to tack on a seatbelt ticket for our youngest son, Ian, who now works at Bulldog Burger Company, and saying he didn't have his seatbelt on. Well, it was impossible for him to see that. You know, we had a minivan. You know, she drives a sports car now. It's the least I could do. When I met her, she was driving a pickup truck, and then I put her in a minivan. But all that I understood, it was impossible for him to see that. Number one, he had his seatbelt on, and number two, he didn't get up and go check on his mom until after the vehicle had stopped. And there's just no way the officer would have seen any of that. And so I objected, which probably comes as no surprise to you. And to make a long story short, it became a very dangerous situation. as this law enforcement officer put his hands on my wife. And I don't know where you're from or how you act, but law enforcement or not, you put your hands on my wife unjustifiably, we're gonna have an incident. We are. Well, ended up with both of us getting arrested. And anyway, it was all ridiculous, and they released me on my own recognizance. And so, of course, I made a call to JC. I was like, hey, this is unjust. You know, I don't believe we were speeding, and the guy didn't even have a radar in the vehicle. And that was one of the things that really infuriated me. It's like, well, do you have a camera? Do you have a radar? Well, yeah, I have both. And I look in the dash, and he didn't have either. And so that only escalated the incident. And so JC gets involved, and he calls and speaks to the, you know, the chief of police for this little township. And I think the guy got a little nervous because JC has a habit or had a habit of making people nervous because he was such a skilled attorney. He would say things that would put people on edge. And so after JC had spoken to the guy that ran the law enforcement situation there, he tells him, he's like, hey, have your client contact me. And JC's like, no, I'm really not comfortable with that. He goes, no, just have him call me. We'll settle this man to man, and he'll be happy with the phone call. And so JC said, ordinarily, I would never agree to this, but why don't you call the guy? So I did. Of course, they dismissed the charges against me, and they lowered Dana's charges to a non-moving violation or something like that. Anyway. Well, before it was all said and done, we ended up being in the middle of an FBI case. What the allegations were, and it's crazy, is the town of Washington was accused, or certain law enforcement officers in the town of Washington were accused of, this was a bit of a kind of a grift. It's because any stop that they made on the interstate, they had to split the revenue with the city or with the state. And so when they lowered it to a non-moving violation, they got to keep all the money for the city or for the township. So they ended up having to go to court multiple times, had to give a statement to the FBI, had to do that multiple times in my life, which is crazy. But anyway, JC kind of helped us navigate through the whole thing, and then ended up hiring a lawyer in Louisiana, you know, we got things done, but JC gave the town of Washington the absolute blues. I mean, every little thing he could think of to defend us, but to show that this was improper. And to make a long story short, there was a wildlife and fisheries guy that came up when this incident happened on the side of the interstate, in front of my children, mind you. And he lied. He lied in his statement and supported the law enforcement officer. And the whole thing was completely ridiculous. And JC got involved and spoke to, you know, that not only that guy's supervisor, but he went all the way to the top of the state. And here's the funny thing about it, is JC never asked for a dime. He never asked for anything. It's just that I was his friend, and my wife had been arrested and cuffed on the side of an interstate because she objected to signing a seatbelt ticket in front of my children. It was one of the worst mistakes they ever made, because by the time that J.C. Patton got done with everybody, there were people that got fired, there were people that were investigated. It became a huge, huge deal. And you can Google some of the stuff about the town of Washington, Louisiana, and you can find some things. And I'm sure that they've got all that cleared up. I'm sure they're all great people now. Not in any way trying to cast aspersions at those people, but that's my experience. And I share that with you just because of the fact that that's the kind of friend J.C. Patton was. Is even though, you know, he wasn't involved with any lawsuit that I was involved in, but he saw it as a chance to defend his friend and his family. And he wanted to make those people know that if you mess with a friend of J.C. Patton, you're messing with J.C. Patton. And I love him for that. Let's thank Bulldog Burger Company, too. Are also our friends. We love them. We will defend them, too, because they do such a great job providing us with incredible nourishment. When you want a dining experience, You can eat at a lot of places, but you have a dining experience at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. You'll be glad you did. Make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. That's part of my beauty care regimen. That's how I've remained so youthful, or at least looked youthful all these years. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile. But the reason you go, I've heard it's great restaurant quality hamburgers. And even if the kids want a burger, and maybe you don't, a lot of other options to choose from. It's not just a burger joint. It's primarily a burger joint. However, that BLT salad is among the best salads I've ever eaten. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I always get it with ranch dressing because I'm from South Mississippi. That's how things work. But I know when I go put my feet under the table at Bulldog Burger Company, I don't have to worry about anything else. They just take care of everything. The service, incredible. Atmosphere is great. The selection of food, just nonstop. It's just one of those places you go and you think, you know what, this is definitely a do-over. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. I thought we'd take a little time. I got a lot to talk about today, but I thought we'd take some time, number one, let's review the season a little bit. As painful as that may be, let's go back and look at it. It feels like we played two seasons, right? We just played the four games, you know, with Blake Shapen as our quarterback. And so we opened the year with the 56-7 rout of Eastern Kentucky. And, you know, one of the very first plays, the third play of the year, we get it out to J-Mo for 75 yards and the touchdown. You know, great start to the Jeff Levy era, right? There was a lot of people on their feet. It's like, hey, this is what we paid to see. Ends up being 14-0, then 21-0, then 28-0, then 35-0. And they finally score just before the half to make it 35-7. And we kind of called the dogs off a little bit. But we win that game 56-7. The final scoring play was the 51-yard pick six from Elijah Cannon. Been a little while since we've had one of those. But at this point, we're all thinking, you know what? This may be okay. We're trying to get to six. Maybe we get to six. Shapen was 15-20 for 247 yards and three touchdowns. We ran the ball for over 200 yards in the game. And so we just kind of felt like, yeah, it's an FCS opponent, Steve. But we did what an SEC team should do to an FCS opponent, and that's dominate the game. So we get ready to go to Tempe, Arizona. My first time out there. And I thought we'd win the game. I did. You know, you go to a Power 5 team, you play them in their backyard, and clearly, you know, in hindsight, you look back and say, man, these guys went 10-2. Maybe it wasn't as bad a loss as we thought, but it's a game that we should have won. Even then, before they found, you know, kind of their stride. But, man, we get down in this ball game and we're just chasing the game. We get down 10-0 before anybody gets going. We get the field goal there, and they come back and get the other field goal, take it back out. And you think, okay, it's 13-3. We got plenty of time. And that's when we had the fumble recovery return for the touchdown that made it 20-3. You look up early in the third quarter, it's 30-3. And we talked about it when we recapped the game back then in week two. Yes, we made this game competitive late, but we didn't make many plays when the game was still on the line. Because, you know, even when that Kevin Coleman touchdown pass was 6 minutes to go to cut it to a touchdown, you start thinking maybe we can steal this thing. They just kind of put a drive together and salted the game away. And it's got behind Scatbo and wore us out. But it was one of those games, too, you look at and say, you know what? This team won three games last year. We should have won the game. We didn't know back then how good they'd beat them. They're playing for a conference championship this weekend. We thought, okay. You know, if we don't have that, you know, Blake Shapen gaffe where he tries to throw the ball away and it's fumbled and turns into a scoop and score, maybe it's a different game. But those plays count. Then we thought, okay, well, we'll go home, we'll beat Toledo, and set up a good match with Florida, a team that we expected to really struggle this year. We said, you know what, those guys are probably 1-2 coming to Starkville. Well, Toledo comes in, and I'll be honest with you, I think it was pretty evident that we were not ready to play in this game. Maybe we overlooked them. Maybe we thought we could just show up. Maybe we thought, in Mike Leach's words, we were too good to play them. We get down 14-0 in this game. Get the field goal from Ferry, who quietly had a really good year. I don't know that Kyle got enough credit this year. And then you look up, it's 35-3 in the third quarter. 35-3. And then we go on to lose 41-17. This game was not close. It was not competitive. And at this point, we all thought, well, we've taken two non-conference losses. We had to go at least 3-1 to really have a realistic chance to get to 6. And then we're going to have to win some toss-up games in the SEC. Well, it was a big toss-up game right out of the, you know, our first one with Florida coming in. And Florida does come in 1-2, just as we expected. We figured they'd lose to Miami, beat Samford, lose to Texas A&M, and they'd be 1-2 headed to Starkville with all the pressure on them. Well, you get through the first quarter, it's 7-7. And then Florida dominates the second quarter. Absolutely dominated the second quarter. The guys, they're up 28-7 at one point. We scored late to make it 28-14 just before the half. And you think, okay, if we can get a stop, maybe we can make this thing interesting. Well, we do. We ended up scoring again in the third quarter to pull within a touchdown. It's 28-21. And then give Florida credit. They put it away. They found a way to put this thing away. You had a chance. Yeah, later to really make it interesting. We cut it to 42-28 and then went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. And then they tack on the field goal to win 45-28. We just couldn't stop anybody. And I think at this point we knew the season is over.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
With the summer sizzle starting to fizzle, cooler heads are looking to lock in a wellness routine fit for the fall and beyond. Lucky for you, Ritual's high standards don't drop with the temperature. Fully committed to traceable science and sourcing, Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with high-quality ingredients and scientifically developed formulas. With them, you know what you're taking, where it comes from, and why it's important. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to groundbreaking options like stress relief and sleep melatonin, which both use first-of-its-kind bioseries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. And right now, for a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And then that evening, we got word that Blake Shapen was done for the year. So now you're 1-3, and you're going to have to play a freshman quarterback, Michael Van Buren. I guess we could have played Chris Parson. But nevertheless, you're going to have to play your number two the rest of the way. 1-3, and again, you look at the numbers. I mean, it's just, you know, the last three games – you know, that you win the first one against Eastern Kentucky and lose three in a row. And you give up, what, 106 points? Is that right? or 116 points. Yeah, 30 and 41 is 71, and you add 45 to it. It's 116 points in three games. We knew then the offense wasn't going to be good enough to save us. Thought, well, this is it. Well, then we go to Austin, Texas, and we wondered if Michael Van Buren would be overwhelmed in the moment. Turns out that he wasn't. And granted, he could go out there and play like he had nothing to lose. I remember walking into the Sill Complex that Monday morning, and Mike's walking out. I said, Mike, you ready? You locked in? He goes, man, I'm always ready. Always ready. And the kid came to play. Give him a lot of credit. I think it's fair to say he earned the trust of the fan base and the locker room against Texas. You know, Texas comes right down and scores early on, makes it a 7-0 game. Then we get a turnover there. Defense, you know, a rare play at that point in the season. We end up kicking a couple field goals, make it a 7-6 game. And then right before the half, they score to make it 14-6. And I remember walking out to call the wife at halftime. And there were tens of thousands of Texas fans leaving in a one-score game. We're down 14-6, and we've been able to drive the ball a little bit. And you start thinking, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for State. We come out, we get the turnover to open the second half. We give it right back. They score a touchdown and get some separation and ultimately put us away in the fourth quarter to win 35-13. But you started thinking, okay, well, maybe with Van Buren under center, with some of these toss-up games, if we could ever get to them, you've got an opportunity. And then we go play Georgia. And again, defense struggled to get stops in this game. And Van Buren put together a really good performance on the road in Athens, put up some big numbers against the Bulldogs. And you people forget, we actually led in this ball game. We had 3-0 lead, and we get it's tied 3-3. We're down 10-3, then 13-3. And then, lo and behold, in a second, Van Buren takes us down and throws a 24-yard touchdown pass to Kelly Akari. It is now 13-10. You just needed to get a stop here to stay in the ball game, and then we couldn't. You know, they put that thing together and made a 31-yard touchdown pass to Dylan Bell from Carson Beck to put it back up to 10. And then you look up, it's 27-10, and eventually 34-10. You say, Steve, this game is over. Well, then we get back-to-back scores. It's a 34-24 game in the third quarter. And you start thinking, man, if we could just get some stops, we got a shot. Well, we couldn't. Trevor Etienne scores from a yard out to put him up 17, and we score a touchdown late to make it 41-31. But again, not a lot of high leverage plays made when the game was on the line, but it was clear that we had something in Michael Van Buren. Texas A&M's coming in, and a lot of people looked at that game beginning of the year and said, you know what, this is one we could win. I worried about the placement on the schedule after playing Texas and Georgia and then coming in off an open date. But Mississippi State goes right down and scores, takes a 7-0 lead. A&M then ties it. And Connor Wegman, we basically, I think Mississippi State kind of exposed him a little bit and made A&M start thinking, you know what, maybe we're better off with the other guy. We dropped a couple of pick sixes in this ballgame too. But it's a 14-10 game midway through the second. And again, we just need to stop and get off the field, and we can't get one. 21-10, and then we come out in, right before the half, and we score to make it 21-17. So it is a four-point ball game at the half. We hold for a field goal, and they eat up half of the third quarter on this drive. But it's a one-score game. At home, with a little juice, and then ultimately we go down 31-17. A little bit later, we get the touchdown and make it 31-24, and they kick a field goal late to basically put the game away. We couldn't finish. And even when the offense played well, as we always hear from Lebby, we couldn't get complimentary football in Starkville because the defense, when the defense played well, the offense didn't, and when the offense did, the defense didn't. We could never get everybody on the same page. We thought Arkansas, especially with Jaquitin Jackson out, we'd have an opportunity to create some momentum. We absolutely did not. This is the game. I would say the Toledo game was the biggest surprise. This was the second biggest surprise. And I had somebody tell me afterwards that when Petrino went and watched film of us, that he went in and told Sam Pittman, I think on Tuesday, we're going to kill these guys. And they do. Put up double-digit points in every quarter and win 58-25. Outscored us 17-0 in the fourth quarter. The game had already pretty much been decided then. But, you know, 17-7 after one, and it's 31-10 at the break. We outscore them in the third, but you're not shutting them out, so you're really not gaining a lot of ground there. To me, this was kind of the low point of the SEC slate. And Arkansas proved to be a decent team, not a great team. You know, offensively, they had not been good the last couple of weeks. Because remember, the LSU had really, really shut down the passing game and gave Green a lot of trouble. We had a great game against us. And a lot of that involved not being able to get their quarterback. We get UMass in here, and it's like this may be our last chance to win a game. Prove that it was. We win the game 45-20, but you forget we got down 10-0 in this ball game. Brutal. We dominate the second quarter and then just kind of coast from there. State scores 35 unanswered in the middle quarters to put the game away, and both teams had 10 points apiece in the fourth. But you pick up the dub, and unfortunately, it's the only win that Michael Van Buren had as a starting quarterback this year at Mississippi State. We go to Tennessee. We lose a ball game, but again, it's a very competitive game. And I thought the defense really came to play in this ball game. One of their better games of the year. We get down 14-0. You know, they had the big long touchdown pass to Deontay Thornton and Diego Brumfield in position to make a play, just kind of mistimes a jump, loses footing. And it was kind of a frustration play for them, right? The state is right there with us. We've got to find a way to get separation, and they do. Then we come back and score. And again, it's that same thing. Like, Van Buren kind of needs some adversity to get going. What many games this year we led in the first quarter? But it's a 14-17 game, and then they get the field goal right before the half. And they come out on the two-for-one deal and get another field goal to make it 20-7. But it's still a two-score game. We hold for another field goal. I mean, the defense just kind of played and played and played. And the offense, again, no complimentary football. Well, we score. Johnny Daniels on a nice run there makes it 23-14. And that's still with plenty of time to go in the ballgame. You're two scores down, but you're probably going to have to shut them out the rest of the way. And unfortunately, we couldn't do it. We give up 10 more points, lose the ballgame. But to me, it appeared that night that the defense was kind of figuring some things out. Missouri comes in. Brady Cook is a little bit beat up. You think you got a chance here. We go down, get the field goal early to get the lead. They come back. And we're dominating this game. And it's another scoop and score, right? Mike gets hit, trying to, you know, to kind of get outside and evade some pressure. He gets hit, scoop and score, 68 yards. They have a 14-3 lead here. Yes, 7-3 lead here, and they had 3 yards and a quarter at that point. Excuse me, negative 3 yards. They put together a drive, it goes up 14-3, but we're right back in at 14-10, and then again, just couldn't get the stop. Next thing you know, it's a 28-10 ball game. You're down 3 scores. And, again, we had a chance in here to cut this to a two-score game, and we pass on the field goal and ultimately lose 39-20. I didn't think we managed this game very well. And Missouri, again, a good team, not a great team. And then we go play Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, probably the best the defense played all year against the Southeastern Conference opponent for sure. And we had a 14-10 lead in the second quarter. And then give up the 89-yard touchdown run. You know, Ole Miss had not been able to do a lot since that opening drive. They cut loose there. Bentley, a guy who hadn't played a whole lot, kind of makes Lane Kiffin look a little silly, to be honest with you. But I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't see this kid in practice every day. We don't know what he's like walking around the Manning complex up there. We don't know, you know. But on this particular play, he looked outstanding. And so the fans really rally behind him, gives them a lead. We hold to a field goal early there in the third period. And so it's still a one-score game going to the fourth quarter. And we couldn't get it done. give up a touchdown pass, make it 26-14, they go for two, don't get it. But, you know, when you don't score, we score 14 points in the first quarter and you don't score the rest of the game, chances are you're going to lose. So that's the season in and of itself. And before we move on, I want to look a little bit, you know, kind of statistically, kind of see who stood out. Because sometimes you forget these things, you know. We have some guys that are coming back that did give us some production this year. So real quickly, let's take a look at some individual numbers here. Devin Booth, we had three seniors to start the year at running back. And we knew that wasn't going to be a position of strength, but we thought it could be decent. Much of the year it wasn't. Devin Booth really got it going later in the year and ran hard against some very difficult teams. Devin Booth, your leading rusher with 759 yards and five touchdowns, led the team with 152 carries. Johnny Daniels kind of running, side saddle with him, gets 540 yards. And I don't know that he's ever going to be the featured back, but he's a nice complimentary back. If you tell me next year we're going to get 500-600 yards out of Johnny Daniels, I'd be pleased. And you forget Jeffrey Pittman, of course. We find out the first week of the season that he is not with the team, the leading returner from a year ago. Kevon Lee has not done a whole lot in his career, but earns the RB1 designation, gets hurt against Florida, doesn't come back, misses the final eight games. He had 140 yards. Xavier Gayton, of course, one of the freshmen that didn't redshirt this year, had the long 72-yard touchdown run too. Very excited for him. He brings some explosiveness to this offense. Hope to see more of him next year. And he's not a running back by trade. He played some Wildcat quarterback in high school. A lot of people thought he'd play safety. With his explosiveness, I like the ball in his hands. But, that's the thing you look at. I wrote about this today. You go out and add a couple of high school backs, you've got to go get a guy in the portal. And I don't just mean a guy. You've got to go get a proven guy at the portal at running back. Kevon Lee, you don't know what you're going to get from him. You don't know. And that's just being fair. We feel like we'll get the medical hardship waiver for him. You know, Johnny Daniels, a role player for us. You feel like Gayton's a guy that can make some plays. Those high school guys are not going to be game ready this year. Both of those guys need a year in the weight room. They're explosive, but they're going to need a year in the weight room. So you've got to go get a portal running back. That's got to be one of the top priorities. All right, looking at the passing numbers. Michael Van Buren, of course, played in 10 games, started 8, 140 for 256, 7 picks, 11 touchdowns, and both of those picks in the Egg Bowl were just, you know, freshman mistakes. You know, we left some points on the field. Mike will tell you the same, but he's playing before he's supposed to play. He was supposed to be the understudy this year and kind of figure this thing out, and Shapin was supposed to be a stopgap guy. Blake plays in just 4 games and has right at half the yards passing, 74 of 180 to 1 pick and 8 touchdowns, 243 yards a game. But Michael Van Buren, very capable guy for us. The guy has some moxie for sure. Chris Parson, of course, played in 4 games, attempted just 2 passes, and is now in the transfer portal. We wish Chris the best. Chris is an outstanding young man. I am never one of these guys that ever faults a guy for wanting to leave for more playing opportunity. You only get a short time in life to play ball, and you don't want to spend it watching somebody else play, you know. And so best of luck to Chris and his family. His dad's an outstanding guy. Wish them the best. Kevin Coleman, your leading receiver this year, 74 catches, 932 yards. I mean, he's just a couple of catches away from being a 1,000-yard receiver. And we do feel optimistic about keeping him. He can be the focal point of the offense next year. 6 touchdowns on the year. Jordan Mosley, 23 grabs, 405 yards. He still has a year of eligibility to work with. Kelly Akari was a senior. He will be gone, 25 grabs, 391 yards. You remember, he was banged up early in the year. Mario Craver missed 2 games to injury, 1 to suspension, 368 yards, 17 catches on the year, and 3 touchdowns. Sadu Traore, he still has some eligibility left. 34 grabs for him, 361 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, he threw a ball in the stands, too. You know, that's one we'll never forget, right? Defensively, and as much as we were out there, you'd expect some gaudy numbers. Isaac Smith, 127 tackles, Stone Blanton with 124. And Stone a little slow out of the gate, but really got it going later in the year. Once we got into SEC play, Stone kind of settled in. And if I told you at the beginning of the year that Stone Blanton is going to give us 124 tackles, you would say, you know what, things have gone pretty well for us. Three pass breakups, a quarterback hurry, a fumble recovery, two forced fumbles. Nick Mitchell, 80 tackles, and this guy's been a career special teamer, you know. And, you know, I wondered when, you know, they're talking about him playing big minutes this year, kind of what that meant. And we appreciate Nick's contributions. Brandon Jennings, a first-year guy out of Hines. And again, if I told you at the beginning of the year, he may be your most prolific pass rusher and have 56 tackles on the year, you would have taken it. Also had four quarterback hurries. Hunter Washington, former Florida State transfer, 55 tackles, pardon me. Look a little bit farther down. Do you know who our leading sack guy was? Who wants to play Bulldog Bingo here? It was Zachary Tillman, a backup linebacker, a guy that I loved coming out of Florence High School. Surprised that Ole Miss didn't offer him. A lot of people around him pushing him to Ole Miss. He ends up coming here, and the kid is just simply a playmaker. As soon as they got him on the field, you know, he partially blocks a punt. I mean, it's just all kind of crazy stuff. When you look at his stat line, it's very impressive. He had an interception, two pass breakups. He had the one quarterback hurry, fumble recovery, a forced fumble, blocked the kick. I mean, just doing a little bit of everything. 30 tackles on the year, too. So you feel good about him, for sure. But, yeah, you know, you look at the numbers here. Guys, it's just nuts to think about this. Just 10.5 sacks on the year. When you can't rush the passer, you can't even really judge a secondary. And I thought athletically we were pretty good in the secondary. But when you can't rush the passer, you're going to give up passing yardage. And that was really the case against Arkansas, right? We just absolutely could not get to green. We did a couple times. But, you know, when you've got an athletic quarterback that can buy time with his legs, it makes you cover that much longer. And it wasn't just him. We played some quarterbacks out there that were kind of statues, and we let them just play pitch and catch. And when you do that, it's going to be a long year. But just thought we'd go back and kind of recap that and kind of put this year behind us. We'll talk about some recruiting stuff, you know, later in the show. But I just wanted to put a pin in this and kind of go back and just kind of be done with it. And I mentioned Kyle Ferry because it goes largely unmentioned. But 10 field goals on the year and 38 of 39 on PATs. 68 points on the year. Leads us in scoring. You know, kicker traditionally does. But kind of a quiet year for Kyle Ferry, that he was very, very dependable. And we talked about Nick Barmira too. 44 punts on the year. Averaged almost 45 yards a punt. What an incredible step forward from what we had last year. Punting last year, and all due respect, this will sound disrespectful, and if it steps on some toes, it's okay. Last year, we could have pulled a kid out of the student section and probably did what we did last year. But Nick found a role on this team, did a great job for us. 17 punts inside the 20, 18 fair catches, 14 of 50-plus. If I told you at the beginning of the year we were going to have those kind of numbers, you'd have been pleased. Kyle Ferry, 10 of 12 on his field goal attempts, 4 of 5 inside 30, 4 of 4 from 30 to 39, 2 of 3 from 40-plus. And made one long of 47. He had the one blocked. So only one true miss for him. And you look at these kickoff numbers too. You know, we had 59 kickoffs, 43 of them ended up being touchbacks. And so, again, I thought special teams play was actually pretty good when it's all said and done. You know what you have in Kevin Coleman. And he really proved to be a weapon against Eastern Kentucky and everybody else the rest of the year. It says, do not let him return kicks. Don't let it happen. And that's what happens. People watch film, you know, and they get excited about what you can do and find a way to defend you. So that's your season in review. Let's get into our top 10 list. As always, brought to you by CloseWithBlair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. You know, that's one of the things about adulthood they don't really tell you until you need it. You got to prepare to be a homeowner. You do. And you can contact Blair at 601-500-2344. And he can help that dream come true for you when other people can't. 24 years of experience in the industry. Whether you're looking for your first home, your new home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair is the one to turn to. Lifelong Bulldog fan, season ticket holder, multiple sports. It's a place here in town. It's one of those deals where you begin to think about what's next for you. You know, whether you're looking to relocate, maybe job or relationship has thrown you a curveball, you're looking to kind of start over. Let Blair do some of the heavy lifting for you because he knows how to structure loans to give you the best chance of approval. And if you're looking to buy a home for the first time, get that pre-qualification letter. That'll really get your real estate agent motivated. We have some great ones within the Mississippi State family. Once they know the price range that you can get financing approved for, it makes everybody's job easier. So save yourself some grief and save your real estate agent some time and get to the closing table a whole lot quicker with closeatblair.com. Okay, it's December, and there are 19 days till Christmas, Mom. That's it, 19 days. You need to get working on that. I know it's fun, but you need to start thinking about that. Don't let it creep up on you. It's 19 days. It'll be here before you know it. Don't delay. So I thought we'd celebrate the month of December. We'll do songs about December. There's a lot of them out there. Some good, some great, some not so much. But I'm pretty proud of this list. There's some new names, some old names. Names you're familiar with, probably some names that you know from other songs that you're not familiar with these selections. So let's get started. Number 10 for us is Good Charlotte's Last December. And it's not the last December, it's about last December, kind of looking back. You know Good Charlotte, of course, from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. They were kind of a one-hit wonder. It's a really good song, though. It's a really good song. I think you'll enjoy it. You know, Good Charlotte, you know, they built a bit of a following. And not just because of the Kardashians, but they do have some talent. They're kind of punk pop, but I think you'll enjoy that one. Number 9, speaking of kind of punk pop, these guys, Newfound Glory, really created a big following in the early 2000s. And they have kind of a peppy song here that doesn't really go along with the rest of the catalog. It's called December's Here by Newfound Glory. And you can do some research about Newfound Glory, the band and the phrase itself, and kind of see what it's about. Number 8, a band that's not at all like Newfound Glory, but there's some very interesting percussion, kind of slip beat stuff here, a little bit offbeat with the drums, but this is basically death metal. It's Under Oath's Alone in December. I've been there. I don't know about you. You know, December 1st, and I looked this up the other day. I can't remember now, but I remember this, like, you know, I told you guys how bad it was for me to be alone on Thanksgiving. Well, I had a girl with me, but I was alone. I was alone. I had company, but I was alone. And then about 2 weeks later, I was arrested, you know. And so I spent much of December of 91 either in the Lamar County Clink or at Pine Grove Recovery. And that's one of the reasons that I try to go back in December and just visit with those guys at Pine Grove, because I know how much that feels. I mean, you feel so incredibly deflated anyway to be in treatment, but to be there during the holidays is very depressing. It is. So I thought we would throw a bone to our death metal fans. And, of course, you know, you guys are kind of gatekeepers too. You say, Steve, Under Oath's not really heavy enough. Well, they are. But I think you'll enjoy that. Now, a band I wasn't quite as familiar with is a band called The Sugar Cult, or Sugar Cult. A track called Worst December. Very intriguing track, too. We talk about gateway songs. This is a band that I want to learn a little more about. A little different, for sure. But it's not really heavy, you know. But it's... It's a pretty interesting song, too. They sound a little bit like, let me think here, what's the name of that band? I'm gonna have to look these guys up. I'm sure I am. I'm going to have to look these guys up. We're going to do it if we can, because I'm just drawing a blank. I'm getting old. I'm having sometimers, right? It's Fallout Boy. They sound a little bit like Fallout Boy. There we go. How did I forget those guys? All right, number six, a bit of a super group here. Chad Gray from Mudvayne and Vinnie Paul, of course, God rest his soul, from Pantera. It's Hell Yeah. They kind of got going with some tracks that are kind of rednecky, I guess you could say. But this is a track called Black December, and it's very aggressive. If you know anything about Chad, he married Shannon Guns from SiriusXM. Super cool. Super cool. But Hell Yeah, a band that, you know, after Vinnie Paul's passing, you know, Chad decided, hey, let's kind of put that on hiatus for a bit. I'll go back to Mudvayne. We'll do some cool stuff with them. They've released some really cool material in the last couple of years. But I like the Hell Yeah stuff. I didn't initially. And Black December comes off the Blood for Blood album. And there is a track on there that is my favorite Hell Yeah song. It's Sangre por Sangre, Blood for Blood. I absolutely love that song. When I was driving to Mexico one day, I was actually a little bit angry. And I think I listened to that song for 100 miles. It's true. I'm a weird guy. What can I say? All right, number five, a band that I really, really like, and they've really found some notoriety in the last couple of years. If you're a serious XM Octane listener, and if you're not, you should be. That's where all the new bands are. It's a band called Set It Off. Now, we're going back a little deeper in the catalog with them, and I really dig this track. It's called Bleak December, and I think that you're going to like this one. And I think Set It Off is probably a band, if you don't know them, you want to get in some new modern rock. I think that's a band, not too heavy for you, heavy enough, a little bit of an industrial sound that you got this over-processed phase in rock music these days where everybody uses computers and iPads and all that kind of stuff. So that there's some of that in it, some of those tricks. But yeah, Set It Off, a cool band. Bleak December might be a great gateway track for you. And number four, and only the real ones know this band. And we're going to go back early 90s here. Everybody knows Mazzy Star from Fade Into You. It's a classic song. And a lot of people kind of consider them a one-hit wonder. They're really not. That's the only song that got critical acclaim. But a very haunting vocal delivery on this one. It's Flowers in December from Mazzy Star. So if you like Fade Into You, and maybe you weren't brave enough to go to the rest of the album, this is an opportunity for you to kind of learn a little more about that band. All right, number three. Anytime that we can work in the majesty of Chester Bennington, we're happy to do so. Of course, that's the dearly departed singer from Linkin Park. And what kind of got me thinking about this is they've recently released a live performance of this song with Emily doing vocals, and she's killing it. Linkin Park, a real resurgence here as of late with the new album out. You should check it out if you haven't. You know, we did a top 10 of that too. But My December from Linkin Park, and I love the back and forth between Shinoda and Chester on this. It's very, very, very Linkin Park-esque. Very. And it's probably a song you don't know as well. Number two, talked about this one on the show before. It's my mother-in-law, her favorite band. I think I told you Her Funeral, as far as funerals go, was probably the coolest funeral that I ever went to. We didn't have a preacher. We didn't sing hymns. We didn't play hymns during the visitation. We had a playlist of all of her favorite tracks, which means we had to have a lot of Collective Soul in it. Collective Soul was her favorite band. And really, 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 really dig those guys. And every time, it's so funny, you know, sometimes I'll just be riding down the road and like I can feel my mother-in-law's energy or something, or she'll flash through my mind and I'll think about something she did or said. And within, you know, a few minutes, like Collective Soul will come on the playlist or the radio or something. It's like her just telling me hello. And I believe in those things. Maybe you don't, but I do. I don't believe that those that leave us have truly left us. That's how I feel. I believe that we do, in many respects, live forever. And so we're going to throw in December from Collective Soul. And it's so interesting. People don't remember the name of the song. They remember the lyrics, you know, just spit me out. That's that song. And everybody knows it. But number one, and I always think about my sister Reagan when I hear this song. always. And I think I turned her on to the Counting Crows years ago. And I like the Counting Crows, and many of you do as well. But we couldn't do a list about December songs without including It's a Long December. And you love that. You know, it's been a long December, and there's reason to believe that maybe this year could be better than the last. And it's one of those things, too, like everybody knows those lyrics. And it kind of has this old Lang Syne vibe to it. And so it'll be played a lot this year, especially towards the end of the year, around New Year's. But I dig these guys. When I got August and everything after, Dana and I talk about that. There are just certain albums that are very Steve and Dana, like albums that we both just loved. And it's certain very important parts of our life. And this is one of them. Really, really got into the Counting Crows after Mr. Jones came out. And that album, every song to me feels like a single. You know, it's just one of those ones you just kind of put it on and push play. And you know, I would say This Wallace Pet Your Friends is another one from that era, too, that is very Steve and Dana-ish. You know, there's just certain albums, of course, that mark periods in our lives that you look back, whether they be good or bad. You know, there's songs out there and albums out there that have kind of gotten me through some tough times in life. You know, and when August and Everything After came out, man, it was a difficult time in my life. And I think music, not only is it a time machine, I think music is therapy. At least it is for me. Like people always say, you know, Steve, hey, you know, if you you spend all this time on the road, man, I don't know how to do it. Well, a lot of it's Keith Morrison and Dateline NBC podcasts. I listen to those, or listen to Joe Rogan, people like that, because Joe Rogan has the most interesting guest. And those podcasts are so incredibly long. But a lot of times when I'm just in a bad mood or whatever, I can get lost in song, and it allows my mind and my brain to heal a little bit. You know, being around all this and the grind, and yeah, people tell me all the time, Steve, I don't know how you do it all. I don't either. You know, all I ever do is work. I mean, it's as simple as that, especially now that I'm an empty nester. But being out on the road, there's just something freeing about that. And I love taking road trips with the wife or with friends. But a lot of times those solo trips are kind of my therapy in many respects, because I get out there and get a chance to kind of process everything. And then, of course, too, you know, if you don't want to talk on the phone, you don't have to, you know. That's one thing that I miss about those old road trips, right? I mean, nowadays you need your phone for the GPS and for music and everything else, but, you know, you can answer if you want to. But one of the things that I miss about those old road trips, like New Orleans and places like that, I mean, sometimes we'd be in Hattiesburg, and if we just kind of get a burr up our saddle and say, hey, let's just get in the car. I mean, gas was, what, 86 cents a gallon back then? And let's just run down to New Orleans. And I used to enjoy being out of touch. And nowadays, in the work that I do, you know, I feel like I'm constantly on demand with somebody, right? And but when I get out there on the road, I'll just kind of get caught up, like, okay, we'll stop at the next truck stop, and I'll get caught up on social media, and I'll return all these texts. And, of course, hands-free driving is the best, you know. But if something does pop up and you got to deal with it immediately, you don't have to pull over, you don't have to text and drive. But I love those old trips, man. I do. And there will come a time in my life when I'll be reminiscent about the trips I'm taking today. You know, and I think about those things, you know, when, you know, with JC and Bob and those guys, you know, and you know, at some point, there won't be a Boneyard. And there'll be one day that I've written my last article, written my last book, and I'll have a chance to maybe look back over the totality of my life and what I've accomplished and the happiness I hope that I've shared with all of you, you know, celebrating, you know, the highs and the lows of Mississippi State sports. But more importantly, my hope is that by listening to this show, you learn something more than just Mississippi State sports. I hope that you feel the same sense of relationship with me that I do with you, because I do this for you. I don't do this just to hear myself talk. And I love Mississippi State, and I love all of you. I love being a part of the Bulldog family, and it's one of the greatest gifts that my dad ever gave me, was you know, introducing me to this wonderful family. And I know some people out there say, hey, it's not a family. No, it is a family. You and I are family. You know, players at times come and go, those that stay with us and graduate and become Bulldog alums and eventually Bulldog Club donators and or donors, they're part of our family too. You know, they may be those cousins we don't see very often, but those of us that love Mississippi State 365 days a year, we're family. And I think that's important that you guys get information from somebody who has lived it and loved it just like you have. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You should too if you don't already. Visit them next time you come to town. You'll be glad you did. The best selection of Mississippi State merchandise anywhere can be found at Campus Bookmart. There are some other people that make that claim. They are pretenders to the throne. When you are looking for Mississippi State merch for all the Bulldogs on your list, look no further than Campus Bookmart. Now, if you can't make the town, you can order online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Lawyer Bondar listener, we'll give you a promo code to help you out. It's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. And that'll get you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Campus Bookmart, best selection of apparel, knickknacks, gift items, diploma frames, everything you need. There's just so much to peruse when you're there, and you're going to want to buy it all, right? So make sure you bring your credit card with you and get all of your shopping done for all the Bulldogs in your life at Campus Bookmart. All right, I want to take a little time and talk about this creative deal that's been in the news the last couple days. There's some things that I want to clear up, and I want to be fair to everybody involved. And there's only so much that I know about this, and there's a lot of people that know less than I do and have a lot more to say about it. There are a couple things that I think are important to understand. Okay, I've read out there in the Facebook groups, and that can be a dangerous place. There's a lot of misinformation out there. I have read that some people have said that these creative folks were like 2 hours late on signing day. I'm told that's not true. And I think that's unfair to them for people to kind of pile on and then put these accusations out there that, you know, are not correct. And I think, you know, it is always a bad thing when somebody loses a job this time of year. Now, the way that I understand, and this is just speculation on my part, it's speculative. A lot of people say, oh, it's a terrible time to do it this time of year. And it is. It's never a good time to fire anybody, but certainly not here at the holidays. But based on what I understand about how these contracts work, that they're going to continue to get paid for a little while. I don't know the deal on that. I think we did that maybe in February. So I would suspect that everybody is probably on an annual contract. And so... And we can get that information for you, but maybe that makes you feel a little bit better about their situation, that you know they're not just going to be out in the cold and not have money for Christmas and things like that. But yeah, it makes for a tough holiday season, right, when you're on a job search, right? It is. But I wanted to clear that up because, you know, I know some of these people, which is to say that, like, I see them and, you know, we're friendly, we speak, but we don't hang out or anything like that. I wouldn't consider them friends. We're just kind of friendly. But I'm not going to let them be unfairly maligned with an accusation like that that is not correct. Now, I can't explain what happened on signing day. I don't know. I don't know why it was so we were a little bit late getting things up. I don't know if they weren't ready to go or they had some technical issues. I don't know that. I don't know their job. Right. I'll share with you some things that I've observed. But, you know, you never know what happened behind the scenes. You know, maybe everything was ready to go and maybe they had some technical problems. I don't know. I don't know. I know we were late getting them out. I think our so the way it works is recruits can sign as early as 7 a.m. local time. So wherever they are, which is the reason that I got up at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, is because, like, we had Sekou Smith down there in South Florida in the Eastern time zone. And I thought, well, I don't know what time he's going to sign. I don't know how quickly they're going to be rolling these signees out. And we wanted to be on top of things for you. So I got up early. Turns out he didn't sign at 7 a.m. his time. It took a little while. But we didn't get our first signees up till about 8:15 or so. Give or take a minute or two. I think LeKendrick James was our first one. I went back and looked at the timestamp. I think it's 8:15. I think Tony Mitchell was around the same time. I think it was 8:12 Central Time. So the way it works is, you know, the documents come in. They have to be reviewed by compliance to ensure that everything is filled out correctly. So there is a little bit of a delay. Like, there's the actual signing, and then the documents then show up and have to be reviewed by compliance. And so that may have been part of the delay. I don't know. But I've read some things like it was one thing out there I read that somebody said that we were like 2 hours late getting a signee up. Like they had signed and we didn't tweet it out for like 2 hours. And that's not correct either. There were some obviously that were delayed, and you had the big rush of like, you know, six signees, and right behind it we had nine signees, you know, within just kind of minutes of the landing page being added. And that's one thing. You know, I don't know who all controls this, but pardon me a second. Okay, I'm back. But you know, when I got up and got going, you know, I logged on to healthstate.com, kind of looking for direction, you know, and there was nothing on the website for you guys. You know, okay, well, hey, here's where to follow. I think that went up around 7:40 or so. And again, that's just kind of doing that from memory. So that's an issue, okay? And I don't know whose fault that is. I don't know if that's on the creative side. No clue whose responsibility it is. But that's a bit of an issue. You know, if I was running the show, like before I went to bed, you know, I had Nate Purvis, my graphics guy, make us a graphic for Signing Day Central. We put that up signing day eve. Just kind of letting you know where to find our thread and, you know, kind of advertising the day. And that didn't get taken care of on the Mississippi State side. And so I think, you know, there was a lot of frustration. I even saw some of my media peers that were out there kind of tweeting out. I don't know what's going on with state social media, but there's already been, you know, several signees that haven't been tweeted out. And the way that I understand how that works is everything is supposed to be simultaneous. Like, it goes to the Instagram, it goes to Facebook, it goes to Twitter or X, and the website all within, you know, seconds or within a minute or so. And that was a little bit clunky at times. But a lot of people are saying, oh, well, they fired everybody because of what happened on signing day. I just don't believe that's the case. And again, I would encourage you, if you don't know all the facts about that, don't just assume that what's posted on Facebook about that is correct. Especially like the thing about, well, to suggest that they didn't show up on time, I think that's unfair to them. I also want to make sure too that people understand we did not fire the entire creative department. That's kind of been pushed out there on social media. That's incorrect. We didn't even fire everybody involved with the creative for football. That was a 5-person staff. 4 of the 5 people are no longer going to be part of our organization moving forward. But everybody involved with basketball, baseball, those people are still there. And I've seen some tweets out there, and there's a lot of people out there that have strong opinions about this, but they've really only heard one side of it. Mississippi State can't comment on it because it is an HR issue. Anything, it's a personnel matter. They're not going to discuss that, nor should they, right? I think that's the respectful thing to do for everybody involved. And so you only hear the one side of it. And I think it's important to understand everybody, every one of us at some point has lost a job, whether it be through a lack of merit or through a budget cut. I mean, at some point, you know, and if you've never had to deal with that, you know, God bless you. You're very fortunate in that respect. And the last thing you'd want is your previous employer coming out and making these statements about you publicly. And so there are kind of laws in place to protect that. So it's important to understand you're never going to hear the Mississippi State side of things, and nor should you. And so if you love Mississippi State, you got to understand that these people are going to have some things to say that is very, very personal to them, because they're the ones that have been directly affected. And I think you got to give a measure of grace about that aspect of it too. Now, a couple things that I've observed this year, and I think I shared this with you guys on the show before, and I've voiced these concerns to Mississippi State as they happened. Like, we did not have a photo gallery on healthstate.com after the spring game until we played Eastern Kentucky. All right, that's unacceptable. And I don't know whose decision that was. I don't know whose responsibility that was, but it's unacceptable. Now, on our side of the fence, we are reliant on those photos. All right, Jeff Labby did not have many observing periods. I think we had two 20-minute periods. So I'm out there getting pictures as quickly as we can. And, so we rely on those photo galleries, right, to provide you guys with art, you know, for our stories and things like that. And for us to go months without doing one, it's just not acceptable. And we just didn't do much at all during fall camp. You know, and again, we have a lot of newcomers, and you guys want to get your first look at them. You want to see them in the maroon and white on the practice field, and we just didn't have them. You know, and so I don't know what kind of direction they were given about that, but I voiced those concerns to media relations. I voiced those concerns directly to Zach Selman. And I'm like, Zach, you got to help me here. You're either going to have to open up practice more to give us an opportunity to capture our own art, or you're going to have to supply more. And so, you know, of course, at that point, we're in the season mode, right? And so we're starting to get more pictures. And we didn't get a lot even then from, you know, and sometimes like if we lost a game, the pictures wouldn't be up for a day or two, you know. And so those are things that you have to understand. But, you know, I'm not exactly sure how far I want to go with all this stuff, but I'd like to know the truth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and sometimes I think to myself, in the grand scheme of things, it's really not a big deal. It's a big deal to those people and their families, though. Like, it's a big deal to them. Now, one of the things that I would be interested to know, because, again, one of the complaints that I made is that I felt that our social media engagement was lacking this year, and you guys have voiced those same concerns. You know, we see it too. And one of the things that I brought up to Zach Selman is that we've got to be able to get out. If we're going to sell tickets and get people excited, we got a brand new coach, right? We got a new coach. We're trying to sell tickets, trying to get everybody excited about football, and we didn't have a lot of social media engagement. What I would like to see is how did we compare to our SEC peers when it came to engagement? And I don't just mean the actual views. I want to see the views too, but I'd like to know. Because you're only acutely aware of what happens in the bubble in which you live, right? So, like, I'm sure you guys are not following Alabama and Auburn and LSU and people like that on Twitter. So I'd like to have something to compare it to. Like, was our number of tweets consistent with the league, or were we lacking? Was our engagement consistent with the league, or is it lacking? You know, we get those reports on our side. You know, 247 Sports, I mean, you know, we get those analytics and we can see, right, what's performing well, what's not performing well. How many video views did we have? How many videos did we do? You know, I think that's an important aspect of it too. I'd like to know those things. And so, again, I haven't figured how far we're going to go with it, but I think maybe that's something that's worth looking into. I think that aspect of it is important. You know, and again, we've had a lot of people that have come out and been critical of this decision. And again, I don't know all the details behind the decision. And again, to be fair to those people in the creative department, I don't know their job. They don't know my job either. And so it would be unfair of them to judge me, and it's unfair of me to judge them without understanding more of what kind of what happens behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, for all of us, you know, we judge people on the product that they produce, but you don't understand how the sausage is made. Does that make sense? Like, I work probably on average maybe 14 to 18 hours a day. And that's counting the time you spend on a message board, the time you spend researching articles, the time you spend interviewing and transcribing those interviews and writing those things up, interacting on social media. I mean, all I do is work. And so I understand there's a lot of work that I do that you guys don't see. And I'm sure it's the same thing in their world. There's a lot of things they do. Like, I can't even begin to imagine, you know, the hours spent preparing all of the signing day content, right? Because I don't know that world. And you don't know it either. So, like, you know, when you get ready to send out these graphics, well, those aren't made on the spot. Those are made ahead of time. When you see these videos, those are made ahead of time. And so then all of a sudden, you get your clearance and a thumbs up from compliance, and you push out your ready-made product. And there's some other videos you do. You know, you have a guy like Josiah Clemens or Xavier Hardy that elects to go elsewhere. Well, you've done the same amount of work for him as you did the guys that signed, except you never pushed that stuff out. So that's work that you've done in preparation that proves to be in vain because of the guy's decision to sign with another program. And so I don't know that aspect of it. And I think everybody needs to be fair to both Mississippi State and the creative side. And I think it would be very interesting to know what our social media engagement looked like this year. And we put this program, this is new, right? We put this football creative team together, and I read all the tweets, you know, from that group, and that was one thing. Say it was a new thing. I know we hired the guy from Alabama, Jonathan, I guess was his name, and you know, he came in and kind of put a team together. There were some people that were here, and then they went outside the university and hired some other people. So I don't know their backgrounds, and again, I don't know their jobs, but I do know social media. And I know how important that is for an organization. And so I would just be curious to see. And I suspect that maybe we could get that stuff from Open Records. You know, I'm a bit of an Open Records aficionado. I feel pretty confident because of the fact that is state business and being paid for by state funds, that we should be able to get that information, maybe get those analytics. And maybe that would kind of paint a picture here and give us an idea of what kind of job that we were doing. Kind of collectively here to promote Mississippi State football. Now, I don't think this has anything to do with the season. And those people in creative had nothing to do with the product on the field, right? Now, we could have a situation, and I've seen some people say, hey, you know, we fired all these collective people, but we hadn't fired any coaches or anything like that. You know, it's two different groups kind of run by two different people. Right. And so I think it's important to understand we can be dissatisfied with two things at the same time, and we can have a different plan of recovery for each one, you know. And the thing that I have always said is just there's really not a lot of bad employees. There are some bad managers, though, if that makes sense. And, you know, when I have, anytime I've ever had to fire anybody, and when I worked in retail, you know, fired over 100 people, hadn't had to fire near as many in the media outlet. But the reality of it is that every time I had to fire somebody, I always had a tendency to look inward and try to learn from these mistakes. Did I make a bad hiring decision? Did I make a bad training decision? Did I not convey my expectations? Communication is everything when it comes to leadership. You have to accurately and succinctly communicate to people what their expectations are. And if they don't meet them, I have to put them on a path to coach them up to meet the expectations of the organization, or I got to find somebody else. So again, I think there's a lot of people with strong opinions with not a lot of information. And like I've read this stuff before too, as a guy that worked in corporate America, I've read people that have said, well, there weren't any explanations. Well, a lot of times an explanation is not necessary. But that's kind of HR 101, right? They bring you in, and I've sat in on those meetings before with other organizations. They bring you in and they explain, okay, your contract's not being renewed, or your job here is ending, and we wish you the best, and that's the end of it. And you're kind of left there. You're like, hey, you know, I don't understand. You know, what did I do, right? Because, you know, if I knew, then I can correct the behavior moving forward, even if it's with another organization. You know, let me know something. Give me some feedback. Now, they're not required to give that to you, but that's how you feel in the moment, right? Well, what's the issue? You know, I remember, you know, after Katrina, the organization that I was with, I was in middle management, and I think we had 8 middle managers at the time, and we cut 3 almost immediately. You know, it's like after Katrina happened, you know, we had some locations that we lost and we weren't going to bring them back. We had some underperforming locations that we just said, you know what, we'll use this as the impetus to kind of clean the deck a little bit. And so with less locations, we need less middle management. And when those middle managers got called in, you know, the corporate, they didn't call them in. They just showed up, right? The people from corporate showed up and said, hey, your job's been relieved. If you'd like to stay with the company, you'll have to take a demotion, you know. And a lot of that had nothing to do with their performance. And so, you know, I'm sure Mississippi State will have a good plan. But I just wanted to kind of clear up a few things today, and especially the two central points here is the people saying that these people were not in the facility when they were supposed to be. That's incorrect. Okay, and it's not fair to them for people to just assume, just because you read it on Facebook, that it's correct and to begin to repeat and regurgitate that. But also, too, everybody kind of saw that there was an issue on Wednesday. That there was an issue getting this content out and kind of getting it rolling. But once we did, once we kind of got caught up to speed, it was pretty timely from there. But, you know, that's an important aspect of it. But the second thing, again, is you're not going to hear Mississippi State comment on this. You're not going to hear the Mississippi State side. So kind of all you're left with is just kind of one side of the story. And I would suggest to you that it's probably good not to form a strong opinion about something with just half of the story. And there are a lot of people that kind of come off half-cocked in these situations. And what's interesting, too, and this may chap some hides, and that's okay. You know, I support the university, but I don't agree with everything that we do. Right? You know, we've made some coaching decisions. We've made some hiring decisions that I hadn't always agreed with. And that's – if two people agree on everything, only one person's doing the thinking. And so when they make decisions like this, my initial reaction is always like, well, what's the other side of it? It's not let's immediately go out here and defend the university. But it's also, too, not to immediately go out and blame the university. And there's some people that are like that. It's like what's interesting to me is I have seen so many complaints about social media this year. And I didn't pay a lot of attention to it until we got into the season, right? And so we complain that there's not enough social media engagement. And then when the university makes a decision to correct that, we're critical of that too. And so what's our motivation here? Right? Do we have a blame Mississippi State mentality? Because if we collectively feel like there is an issue with social media, then they need to take steps to correct that. And when they do implement a solution, we're going to be critical of that too. And we don't even know what the plan is moving forward. And so, again, I'm not exactly sure how far I want to go with this, how much time I want to spend on it, but I wanted to comment on it because I don't want the people that have lost their jobs to be mischaracterized because of some assumptions that people have taken, right? They clearly did a lot of work in advance of this, and I don't know if they just weren't ready to go, and again, if they had some technical problems. So I don't have an opinion about that. I just know that we were a little bit late getting started. But we weren't derelict in our duty in the respect that we didn't show up, and I want to make sure that that is understood. But the rest of the story, too, is that if we weren't meeting the expectations of the university, then the university has a duty and a responsibility to take corrective action. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, whether it be a ballgame weekend or perhaps a midweek trip. Maybe you've got some vacation time saved up and you're not quite sure how to spend it. Well, why don't you book a couple days at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse and come enjoy the glory of Starkville and maybe take in a men's and a women's basketball game while you're here. And mom can do a little shopping, and you can enjoy your favorite restaurants in the Golden Triangle without the long lines that accompany game day. It's a great idea. And maybe you should be the person to kind of take ownership of the planning, right? Whether it be a couple's weekend, a college roommate's reunion, perhaps just family. We're looking forward to being there in a few weeks and having all the kids under one roof. And I don't know if we'll even charge our phones. You know what I mean? Because anybody that I really care about the most will understand who I'm with and what I'm doing. And so I want to spend time with them and just be with my family. And maybe you share that same sentiment and want to be involved with your family under one roof and just kind of be a family right? Not be glued to your phone, but just kind of enjoy catching up with those you love the most. Now, again, you can Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. And in addition to that, you can see all the fine amenities available to you and your guests. Plenty of parking, plenty of room, five bedrooms, soon to be six bedrooms, two baths, that big back porch area, the fire pit area, the full service kitchen, the wet bar. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse, and it is an amazing facility, and it is well worth your time and effort to go check it out. Now, when you get ready to book, as you Google, there's going to be some booking options come up. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO. In addition to that, you're going to see the Evolve website. Now, if you book through the Evolve website, I got a promo code for you. It's BSR10, BSR10, the number 10. That gets you 10% off your stay. So whether you're booking ahead for baseball weekends, use that code to save some money just by being a listener to the show. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, as we mentioned the other day about the Tyler Lockhart stuff, we had to quickly get to that and get the show up. So I'm going to go over a few minutes today. We didn't get to talk about how great the Mississippi State men looked in that game. And that's the beauty of the DVR, right? I mean, you can go back and kind of go back and watch it in its entirety. But, man, State absolutely dominated number 18 Pitt, treated them like they were an FCS school. I mean, this was the number 18 team in the country, and State absolutely went out there and wore them out. And we blacked out the hump. Maybe we black it out more. What a great night of basketball. And you can find the game on demand, too, if you missed it, to kind of get excited about the weekend. But Michael Nwoko, 18 points in 18 minutes. When you talk about efficiency, and he knocked down a three. And in 3 of 4 from the line, pulls down 11 rebounds. His best game in a Bulldog uniform by far. Josh Hubbard, a dozen points for him. Just kind of didn't have his best game. And that's even scarier. At State could put up 90 points, and Hubbard's not doing the heavy lifting. RJ Melendez would really emerging as a great player for State. I really love this kid's game. Defends well, plays hard. Cam Matthews with 9 points, also pulled down 13 rebounds. State on the defensive end did a great job getting out and defending. Keyshawn Murphy off the bench with 20 points. Claude O'Harris Jr. with 10. And you've seen the creative video out there about touching the floor when he absolutely broke that dude's ankle and everybody in the hump just reacted. It was nuts, man. And State just 7 of 21 from beyond the arc, but shoot 37 of 64 for the game. Dished out 18 assists, turned it over 14 times, but on the other side of the ledger, Pitt shoots 20 of 64. And in case you're wondering, it's 31%. When you hold a team at 31% and you're shooting 57, chances are you're going to win the game. Really good effort from the Bulldogs, for sure, in every aspect. But, rebounds for the game, 20-27 for Pitt. State dominated in every facet of this game. And, again, it's just crazy to think about how good this team can be, even when Josh Hubbard is not having his best night. And I think I saw that this was the largest margin of victory against a ranked opponent in Mississippi State history. How about that? All right, so we're back in action on Sunday in Humphrey Coliseum against Prairie View A&M. That's a 3 p.m. tip, so you can come up, enjoy a lunch, watch the ball game, and get home at a decent hour. We'd encourage you to come do that. That's a pretty cool thing. It's a game that State should win handily. I think we all kind of see that for what it is. I mean, State should be able to kind of out-athlete them. And that's an important aspect of it, too. You know, when you get together and you play a team like this, you ought to be able to get deep in the bench, too. Prairie View just one and six on the year. They've lost six games in a row. They opened with a win of the College of Biblical Studies, 111-90. And since that time, it's been kind of difficult. They play a lot of games on the road. It's a way to fund your program, right? Get out and go play. Now, they're going to play Friday this evening against UAB and then make the trip over here. Let's take a quick look here and just kind of see how that game's going against UAB. Let's see. Click on the live stats here and see if we can get you an answer here. It's taken a while. Yeah, so UAB is up 64-48 with 10:42 to go in the game. So they're going to be 1-7 when they get here. And really no point putting a scouting report together. But Nick Anderson's a guy that has led the team with 19 points a game. And Tanaj Petway with right under 15. But, yeah, Bulldogs should be able to handle that. So if you'd like to come out and enjoy a day in Starkville and see the men pick up another dub, you got a chance to do that on Sunday. And, again, one of the things I love about our students is when we get these players in the game that don't get to play a lot, they do such a great job supporting those student-athletes. Like anything that good that happens, we act like it's the greatest thing ever. And I love our students for that. And it's been that way for a long time. But I love the fact that we make those guys feel so welcome. So State 7-1 should be 8-1 after the game against Prairie View. And then we go right back to work next weekend in Tupelo. That game will be on ESPNU, but we need you to turn out and be a part of that, that game against the McNeese Cowboys. We'll talk about that game next week. Switching over to the women's side a little bit here. And, you know, we had that tough loss at Georgia Tech, the first loss of the year. Ladies are 8-1. And, you know, we're back in action on Sunday in Chicago. We do have some Bulldogs up there. So please turn out if you're in the Midwest up there. It's a 5 p.m. tip. So if you're watching from home, you can watch the men play and then switch over and watch the ladies play. Again, that's a 5 p.m. tip, and you can watch and stream that. Looking here at the at kind of what Chicago State has done. And again, anytime you go on the road, it's a good thing. But this, again, should be a sizable victory. The winless Chicago State team is 0-10 on the year. And I give them credit. They have played some impressive teams. Like, they've played a lot of Power Four teams. They open up at Iowa State. Then they get Butler. That's a basketball school, of course. A little bit later, they go to Florida. They get killed by Florida, 105-35. They go to Arizona. That game was at home. And then they play at Oklahoma State. And so, you know, commend them for getting out and going and playing some decent competition. But it hasn't been great, to say the least. Ayanna Culver leads them with a dozen points a game. And everybody's got a leading score, right? Everybody does. But five of these 10 games have played on the road. And, of course, they've lost all five of those games. So it should be a game at State. Should be able to go in there and handle. And, again, we've talked about this. The ladies on a bit of a road trip here. Of course, they went to Atlanta and now to Chicago. They will be there in Tupelo as part of that doubleheader, which makes that a more attractive entertainment option, is that you can go watch both teams play. And we'll preview that game against Belmont. And again, we're not back in Humphrey Coliseum until December the 29th. Over the Christmas break, we'll go play a couple of games at Monroe and then at Maryland Eastern Shore. But yeah, State should be able to string together some wins here, kind of going into SEC play. I would suspect we probably have a good chance to win out the rest of the non-conference. And just have the one loss when we head to Lexington, Kentucky after the new year, right? So there you are. That's your update. And, yeah, thought it was a good show today. And hope that you guys enjoy your weekend. If you're looking for late gift ideas, of course, we're still running the 50% off campaign at jeanspage.com. That's a gift that you get every day of the year, right? The best coverage of Mississippi State sports at half the price at jeanspage.com, the 247 affiliate for Mississippi State Sports. You think about that, you know, how much money you want to spend on somebody, but we're going to give it to you half off. That's less than a dollar. It's right at a dollar a week when you look at the grand scheme of things. What a great gift to offer somebody you know. And maybe you've got a young Bulldog. Maybe you're a longtime subscriber and you've been sharing that your password with your kid or something. And sometimes it'll log you out. Like, it won't, you know, give them their own subscription. And we'd love for you to come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. We're doing BOGOs there, too. Buy one, get one free. And it seems like everybody that comes in is buying a BOGO to give the gift of floating. Guys, and I'll tell you this, too. Guys, my wife has worked there every day. Every day since we've opened, other than Thanksgiving Day. We just made a decision because the kids were in town to give her the day off. And so we closed the spa that day. And then there's been a couple days, you know, I went up there and ran the spa one weekend so she could go to Arkansas and just take a break and see our grandkids. And so, again, it is truly a mom-and-pop operation, but it's mom 99% of the time. And so you could make her Christmas. You don't have to buy her anything, but maybe buy a BOGO or come get a membership and where you could float every month. Once you've floated, you're going to love the experience. And I think, you know, whether you've got chronic pain or anxiety, we may be able to help you. We've helped a lot of other people. And a lot of people just don't know a lot about floating. You can find more about it at truerest.com. Joe Rogan, mentioned him earlier, is a regular floater. We have some people that float every day. You know, it's crazy in that aspect of it. You know, around the company, we do. We've got some people to float 3 and 4 days a week here. But maybe you think about, hey, I've always wanted to try this, but I'd like a friend to come with me to enjoy the experience. You don't float in the same pods, but you can float at the same time. And we really wanted to make Starkville a better place. So we've really committed a lot to this. And we need your support. We absolutely do. And so dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife, Dana, and she'll answer any questions you may have. Or just stop by the spa and you can pick up BOGO. And we'll give you a gift card, too, where you can give it to somebody for Christmas. And one of the things, too, that we're seeing a lot of people of like, hey, I'd like to give gifts for my staff. And that's something maybe you hadn't thought about, too. And, you know, you're probably going to go buy them something that won't last long anyway. Why not give them an experience and maybe turn them onto something that could make their lives better? And so we have corporate memberships available. And we also will get BOGOs, too, that we can sell in bulk. And so that's a good way to kind of go about it. And then visit DutyNobleBook.com. Reminder, I will be at Lemuria Books from noon to 1 on Saturday and in Persnickety in Madison 2 to 4. And then at Book Martin Cafe downtown Starkville Sunday 11 to 3. Typically during the holiday season, especially after home games, I am at Book Martin Cafe. It's kind of my home bookstore. So a lot in front of me. But a lot of gift ideas for the people in your life. You get a Jeans Page sub, you can get BOGO at buy one, get one free at the Float Spa, and then, of course, pick up signed or personalized copies of books either online at DutyNobleBook.com or come see me in person on the road at book signings. But, yeah, we got some recruiting stuff we're going to talk about really more on Monday. The portal opens on Monday, and I know a lot of people, you see these people go in a portal, and everybody panics. This is the case with every team in the country. Everybody has players that are like, hey, I got to go play, right? We haven't had a huge loss. Bryce Pollock, I think, is the biggest loss. And you certainly like to have him back. You do. But the reality of it is that this is kind of where we are in college athletics. And you have these exit interviews and coaches kind of say, hey, this is where you are. This is where you fit moving forward. And if you'd like to go somewhere else, we certainly bless you. You know, and that opportunity will help you. We're happy to give you a good recommendation. But it's really kind of the merciful thing. You know, you don't want a young man to eat up all their eligibility just being a backup. You know, we need depth, but we, you know, guys out there want to get on the field. And if that means you got to go to another school or drop to a lower level, then that's what you need to do. And so it's uncomfortable. But it's the reality of it. And I've done my best to prepare you guys. The outgoing traffic comes first. The portal opens on Monday, and I expect to see some portal visitors on campus this coming week. And those will be like one day, 24-hour visits. You get them in, you take care of business, watch some film. You probably have a pretty good idea of who you want. And then once you get them in, hopefully it validates your evaluation. But, yeah, so that's another good reason to subscribe to Jeans Page is we're going to be all over that. And we look forward to providing you with unprecedented coverage of the portal. I thought we killed it last year. We'll do our best to be even better this year. But this next, really 3-4 weeks for Mississippi State are going to define next year's season. And you're going to want to be up to date on those folks. You're going to want to know what's happening as it kind of unfolds. And I want to share this with you too. Just like we saw in baseball, and for some reason there's so many people that think they're experts in baseball, and they're not. But just because we follow a player on Twitter doesn't mean they're a priority target. Like, we'll go follow somebody on Twitter, and then they commit somewhere else, and immediately we have a meltdown. I can't believe we may not even brought the player in for a visit. We may not have even offered a scholarship. So don't set yourself up for disappointment and start tracking these Twitter followers. I don't understand. We can't get anybody. And there may be a plan in place that you're unaware of. It's important to understand. You guys have a great weekend, and I'll see some of you tomorrow down in central Mississippi and, of course, Sunday in Starkville. And, you know, we'll take some more cold meds. We'll do what we can. But I'm actually feeling okay. And that's an important aspect of it, right? Don't have, you know, aches and pains, that kind of stuff. Just a little bit nasally, more than normal. And hope that you and your family are far from harm. And be sure and hug on everybody you love when you're healthy to ensure that they know that how you feel about them. I mean, it's so important. As we open the show, we've lost two people within our circle of friends. And you hate that. But that's the reality of life. But don't pass away without people knowing how much you love them. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
With the summer sizzle starting to fizzle, cooler heads are looking to lock in a wellness routine fit for the fall and beyond. Lucky for you, Ritual's high standards don't drop with the temperature. Fully committed to traceable science and sourcing, Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with high-quality ingredients and scientifically developed formulas. With them, you know what you're taking, where it comes from, and why it's important. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to groundbreaking options like stress relief and sleep melatonin, which both use first-of-its-kind BioSeries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. And right now, for a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.